When you study Scripture, you find many examples of believers who dared to trust God so completely that they lived courageously. They dared to be faithful to God and live boldly for Him. Hi, I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor at Fraser Church. Welcome to Fraser 365. Thank you for joining us as we examine some of the most faithful and courageous heroes of Scripture. We hope this study challenges you to live boldly for Christ today.
Welcome to Day 7 of Dare to Be. Today's devotion is titled, The Wonderful Will of God. James Montgomery Boyce once wrote, God has a good, pleasing, and perfect will for each of us. Otherwise, how would it be possible for us to test and approve what that will is? Our text today is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Paul describes God's will as good, acceptable, and perfect. The word for good is agathos. This adjective primarily denotes that which is good by nature, and therefore beneficial in its effect. In the New Testament, this word often refers to the intrinsic goodness that aligns with God's nature and His will. The term acceptable is used in the New Testament to describe something pleasing or acceptable, particularly in the sight of God. It often conveys the idea of actions, attitudes, or offerings that align with God's will and are thus approved by Him. This word emphasizes the importance of living a life in harmony with divine standards and is often associated with moral and spiritual conduct. The word perfect is the Greek word teleos, derived from the word telos, meaning end or completion. In the New Testament, teleos describes something that has reached its end or purpose, signifying completeness or maturity. It often refers to spiritual maturity or moral perfection, indicating a fully developed state in character and faith. In the Greco-Roman world, the word was associated with achieving one's purpose or reaching maturity. Philosophers like Aristotle used the term to describe the ultimate goal or end of a process. In the Jewish context, the idea of perfection was linked to living in accordance with God's laws and achieving spiritual maturity. Thus, God's will matches His nature, which is always good. Because it is God's will, it is acceptable and pleasing in His sight and will also bring complete spiritual satisfaction to your life. Following His will also leads to spiritual maturity, which is God's end goal for every believer. Robert Mounts writes, "Released from the control of the world around us, we can come to know what God has in mind for us. We will find that His will is good, pleasing, and perfect. It is good because it brings about moral and spiritual growth. It is pleasing to God because it is an expression of His nature. It is perfect in that no one could possibly improve on what God desires to happen." James Montgomery Boyce explains that these three descriptions of God's will are the result of the transformation process. I find it significant that this is where Paul's statements about being transformed by the renewing of our minds, rather than being conformed to the patterns of this world, end. They end with proving the way of God to be the best way and the will of God to be perfect. This means that action is needed. God is not producing hothouse or ivory tower Christians. He is forming people who will prove the value of God's way by conscious choices and deliberate obedience. This point was expressed well by Robert Candlish, one of the best Scottish exegetes of the last century. He wrote, "The believer's transformation by the renewing of his mind is not the ultimate end which the Holy Spirit seeks in his regenerating and renovating work. It is the immediate and primary design of that work, in one sense. We are created anew in Christ Jesus. That new creation is what the Holy Spirit first aims at and effects. But we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." That's from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. The essence of a good work is the doing of the will of God. The proving of the will of God, therefore, is a fitting sequel of our being transformed by the renewing of our mind. We will never dare to be all that God has called us to be without following His will for our lives. May God renew your mind and transform your life so that you find the courage to obey His will. Some questions to consider. What are your thoughts about God's will being good, acceptable, and perfect? What have you learned this week from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and how can it be applied to your walk with the Lord? And finally, why is following God's will the key to daring to be? Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.